You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here is your host, Steve Blair.
For the fans, New York Knicks fan forum. Knicks lose to the Houston Rockets, 120-96 at the Garden. Also, current game in progress, the New York Rangers right now, 0-0 versus the Kings in L.A. right now. I'm going to keep an eye out on that score throughout the duration of this fan forum. 929-477-4177 was the calling number to the Bleed Blue Show. You can press the number one button on your touchdown phone. Be live on the air for any questions or comments. You can also follow the show on the Twitter, Bleed Blue Show, at the Bleed Blue Show, Facebook, Instagram, Facebook page, facebook.com/ the Bleed Blue Show for the Bleed Blue Show fan page. This game got ugly and ugly real quick. There was no point of playing the young guy, the older guys, as a matter of fact. I'm done with Pablo Prigioni. Thank goodness. Officially, played him under 20 minutes tonight. There's no point at this point in the season to see Pablo Prigioni play the minutes that he plays. Let the guy, let the young boy Langston Galloway get minutes. Show us what he could do right now on his 10-day contract. Travis Ware had a lot of looks tonight, got a lot of extended playing time. They tried to go through Cole Aldridge early in the beginning, and it didn't work. Clay Anthony early, I want to see a lot of minutes from him. Shane Larkin. And, I think that I want to see a lot of the youth just get a lot of chemistry going into next season. And even, try to get these guys who's going to stay, who's going to go. Guys between Shane Larkin, Quincy Acey, Clay Anthony early, Galloway, Travis Ware, Cole Aldridge. That six right there is the Knicks six I want to see on the floor every night for the rest of the season, is for the most part too. Whoever comes back, we know what Calderon is, we know what Prigioni is. Even when Carmelo comes back, I don't even think we should kill Melo. Melo's minutes when he gets back should be no more than around that 28 to 30 minute mark. Probably at a minimum, but no more than 35 a night. Let's bring on Knickerbocker Av. Knickerbocker Av, man, what's going on? How you doing?
No, not too bad, man. It was interesting. Tonight's game had a couple little, highlights here and there. It was a great show by Langston Galloway. But, again, it's one of those issues where you're just going to be facing a team that has way too much talent. Way too much firepower, and the Houston Rockets, I believe they said that it's the 11th or the 12th consecutive victory over the New York Knicks, and they only play each other twice a year, so that's saying something. They said they had no kind of answer for to stop James Harden. Hell, most All-Stars don't have an answer for James Harden, but. I agree with you completely. I kind of don't want to see Jose Calderon. I don't want to see Pablo Prigioni. I'd be okay if you just benched them, traded them, do something other than play them at this point. Why not just let the young guys, who played in the summer league, who have some kind of chemistry and some kind of cohesion. Players. These are going to be the guys that.
Okay. What's up? Go ahead, Coach. I thought you faded off a little bit. Go ahead.
These are going to be your role players. These are going to be the guys that that are going to be your bench coming. Come hopefully next season, but you never know.
Yeah, I felt myself watching the game, and it seemed like when Prigioni and Calderon has the ball, I'm dozing off. I'm falling asleep. I know Prigioni in particular, he's slow. He's not going to blow by nobody. There's no excitement out of him. He's a good spot, a three-point shooter when wide open, but he doesn't take the wide open shots like he's supposed to. He's a pass point pass for his point guard, but he's slow and he causes a lot of turnovers. He had a few tonight, and it caused for a lot of breakaway layups for the Rockets, which we got blew out. A lot of sloppy play out of our point guard position. I'm tired of watching old point guards like Calderon and Pablo Prigioni. I want to see the young guys. Like, when I'm watching the Knicks game, even down 15, 20, 24 points, I'm watching the game as if the game is down, as if we're down 6 or 7. I want to see what Galloway can do. You know, he has a nice little decent jumper, and you know, in game time speed. I know the game was out of hand, but hey, the game still counts for whatever it is. I want to see him, you know, show us a little. You know, he probably had the highlight of the night with the putback dunk. You know,
yep.
I want to see that. Even though if we're going to lose, you know, give me something to watch as a Knicks fan, okay? Even though we're going to lose by 20, 25 points or however points it's going to be, let's see what these other guys can do. There's no point playing Calderon at this point to the amount of minutes he is right now, especially Prigioni. Jason Smith's got to go. The six guys that I mentioned, I want to see more of that. Not that, you know, they're gonna be bad, but at least give us something to watch during this destruction, this abomination of basketball. I mean, you saw New York Knicks fans with the New Orleans Saints bags over their heads courtside tonight.
Yeah. I was actually trying to figure out a clever meme for it, but there really isn't much you can say to that. I mean, it's downright awful. When you see Spike Lee and he's kind of like, you know, he doesn't even have any energy to try to motivate other Knicks fans, which is what he usually does. What were we expecting? We were playing an elite team in the Western Conference. The West is loaded with firepower teams, high octane offenses, and the Knicks are terrible at, you know, defending anything. So why not just let some kids play, learn some offense, learn some defense, get some minutes under them. Hell, if they're gonna be here for a while, let them. I mean, at this point, I'm gonna say it. You know, it may be the best idea to shut down Melo.
Who is scheduling the Knicks with all these national TV games in all season? Last time I checked, we didn't make the playoffs last year. So why are we getting these national TV games on Thursday nights? First of all, I'm glad Barkley didn't call the game, because when I first turned on the broadcast and I saw him in studio, I said, all right, cool, I can at least listen to the game. But
right.
I'm tired of the Knicks being on TNT, embarrassing us in front of the national audience. I don't know why we're on national TV at the rate we have been. Like, it seems like every 3 weeks, it seems, including Christmas. But even with that said, though, we have to play Larkin. We have to play Klay Anthony Early, Travis Ware, Quincy AC, Cole Aldrich, and we're going to go with Galloway. Because that six right there, I'm not saying they're gonna win. You know, they're not gonna you know, come back and go on 8-game winning streaks. I'm not saying that, but we got to see what these young boys can do. Let them play. Just let them play, man. There's no point playing these old farts, man. There's no point. We already know what they're about. We already know what they can do. It's like, you know, shop them. You know, let them be glorified assistant coaches. Just let them sit on the sideline. I don't even want to see them in the game. You know. I'm okay if Calderon started or Prigioni started, but after that, you know, don't even play the rest of the game, because I want to see what these young guys could do, man. I really do. I really, really do. Oh, by the way, the Rangers already down 2-0 to the nemesis, to the Kings, by the way. But go ahead, nigga.
Oh,
that.
Shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
That was quick.
I was actually good. Yeah, that was really quick. But no, I'm 100% with you. It'd probably be in Phil's best interest right now to, and I'm sure he's still doing it. He's still looking for, you know, for potential trade partners to move a potential, you know, a Jose Calderon and even a Pablo Prigioni. it makes no sense to keep them anymore. Their value to this team has diminished tremendously. Maybe, you know, in the locker room there might be a whole lot, you know, more to it that we don't know, as opposed to being mentors. But on the court, really, Calderon, you know, he would probably benefit like a San Antonio type team, or you know, just an, you know, another veteran guy that you know that can be, you know, that spot up shooter. And Prigioni, I don't know what he can do. I mean, maybe send him to L.A. to the Clippers or something.
It's hard.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's just, you're absolutely right. I'm actually kind of curious to see if, you know, now that you were just saying that, I was like, how would those guys do if you just inserted Stoudemire and Anthony in there for like 10 to 15 minutes and see how they would do? And, you know, maybe they might surprise us, but you never know. But that's neither here nor there. We're not the coach. We're not, you know, the management. Let them decide what the hell they're going to do. We're still tanking anyway.
Yeah, Rockets defeat the Knicks 120-96 at the Garden. The Rockets shoot 53% from the field, the Knicks 46%. The Rockets went, you know, haymaker from three, 44% from three, 16 out of 36. I mean, that's a lot of attempts, man. 36 three-point attempts. I know the Rockets are a three-point shooting type of team, but, you know, the Knicks, man, we give up a million threes, and tonight was no different. Also, the Knicks, out-assisted by three tonight, you know, but that doesn't tell the story of the game. You know, James Harden, how well has he been playing this season, man?
I really like how he's pretty much taking control of the team. I know that the offense is supposed to still kind of run through Dwight, but because Dwight has been having so many issues of staying healthy and finding his own rhythm, James Harden basically is the Carmelo Anthony of that team, but the way it's supposed to be. You know, it's not necessarily stopping with him because, I mean, he had, what, 9 assists tonight to go along with his 25 points? I mean, the guy was, you know, he was finding the, you know, he was finding cutters. He was finding the open man in the corner. He loves finding Jason Terry for some weird reason. I mean, every other time I saw Jason Terry wide open for three. I mean, then again, we're a horrible perimeter defense, but still, you know, most of the shots that Terry made, James Harden gave to him.
You know, I didn't even realize Jason Terry had made that many threes in his career. Like, I didn't know it was that many, you know, 2,000, wow. But James Harden is definitely a top five player in this NBA. I was kind of mad at, you know, there was points in the game, you know, as much as I wanted to see our young point guard coming up from the D-League, they threw him on James Harden. Like, really, really, Fisher, really? I mean, you really want to get this guy 3 fouls and out of the game and on the bench? You know what I mean? I don't really have that many reasons as a Knicks fan to watch the games anyway. But you're going to just throw somebody, you know, who's just come up, throw him on Dub, one of the best off-the-dribble player in the NBA, just to commit fouls. And then he had a, you know, came out, and then he brought back in Prigioni, but then he brought him back in. You know, it's not a lot of reasons why. Knickerbocker, is there any reason, or there's three reasons as a Knicks fan, we should still be in tune watching this season? I mean, besides being fans, but what are three things do we have to look forward to just turn on to the next Knicks game?
Wow, that's that's a real tough question. Hopefully, the one thing I can definitely say is you can at least take a look to see what the future holds in terms of maybe they might surprise you and win a game, because the Knicks were in it, you know, for the first half, and then in the third quarter they just got destroyed, you know, off the perimeter. But three things to look forward to: the young kids, see how much they develop, you know, guys like Galloway, Travis Ware, Shane Larkin, you know. Hopefully Tim Hardaway Jr. can finally, you know, find himself again, because he was nowhere to be found.
I forgot about him. I forgot about Hardaway
Jr. So did I. I mean, I completely forgot all about him. And it's like, but, you know, I just saw his picture. I was like, oh, what happened to him today? And then maybe You'll see Melo hit a milestone if he plays a couple more games. Definitely the only game that's worth watching if you're a Knicks fan is the All-Star game. And maybe the London game when Melo decides to come back. But aside from that, there really isn't very much. I mean, and that's the main reason why ESPN is pulling a lot of the Knicks games off of their schedule and they're showing something else.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I go back, Monte Hunas for the Rockets, you know, 17.7 rebounds for Houston. Like, where are the Rockets finding these guys that the Knicks can't find, you know, overseas? How come we can't find international talent when we have an international scouting team? How come we can't find guys who are delivering for the players, you know, for the team, for like the Houston Rockets, like Monte Hunas for the Rockets tonight, which he had a nice little in between game tonight with the lefty thing going on. Why can't we find talent like that?
Well, it's part of the reason is, well, we don't. New York, I don't know how to say this, but it's been a problem for most of all the New York teams when it comes to young talent. You know, they give them a shot, and you know, sooner or later, you know, their management, you know, gets a little bit too, you know, trigger happy, and they want to go for veterans. And I don't know why we can't seem to, you know, to draft those, you know, those Monte Hunases or those Chandler Parsons or those guys like that, you know, that, you know, that are good two-way players and are great bench players. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Besides us, you know, always trading our draft picks, which we're notorious for. I mean, that's why we only have one this year, and the only reason we have is because we couldn't trade two, you know, in consecutive years. That would be my only explanation. This is, they don't look towards the future. They look for the right now. And the sad thing about it is that the Knicks have been trying to win now for so long, and it hasn't, and it's never worked. So it's like, can we start developing? I don't know if the Knicks fans are, you know, patient enough for that. I mean, they're not patient now. And we have Phil Jackson.
Because I'm just, it's like mind-boggling, man. Now I mentioned those names at the top, and I forgot about Hardaway Jr. How can I forget about Hardaway Jr.? But Calderon, $7 million contract, you know, in the trade with Dallas in the offseason, so we can get rid of Felton and get rid of Chandler and return Dalembert's gone off the team. It looks like Calderon's on his way out of the team too. $7 million, dude. $7 million. I'm pretty sure you already know his final stat line tonight. It was stood out.
Yeah.
How could this happen?
Turnovers.
How can this happen? I mean, dude, you're paying the $7 million. He can't even score.
And how much were we, you know, being told of how great of a perimeter shooter and how much of a guy he was perfect for this triangle offense, and how much, you know, how many times have we heard that? And I mean, we said it on the forum last night, and I'll say it again. He earned his $7 million last year when he was playing with Dallas. He has not earned it here, and you know, he only has like one or two good games as a Knick. One being that his first game back against Dallas, and then another game, you know, that I don't even remember when it was, and that's it. It's sad to see, but you know, maybe that'll explain why he's on his way out.
This does not make sense. So, is it safe to say that we got burnt from that trade? Were we better off for the short term, keeping Felton, keeping Tyson Chandler, instead of going after Calderon and Samuel Dalembert? I mean, for instance, I know we're trying to implement the triangle offense. You got to keep that in mind. But is it one of those situations, this situation right now, you got to take like one step backward to go two step forward type of situation with the Knicks right now? Because right now, this trade is looking terrible. Terrible.
Well,
I don't see no triangle offense like everybody's saying they did. I see more of a variation of the Princeton offense more than I see the triangle. I've seen the triangle for 20 years. This doesn't look like a triangle. I don't know what Nick is watching.
Well, they definitely have abandoned it. It's more of a conventional offense. And you're absolutely right. There were more times that where I saw the Princeton than I did the triangle. There were more times where I saw a regular standard offense as opposed to running the triangle. Then, of course, when we had Melo and we had J.R. Smith and we had Iman Shumpert, you had more of an isolation, kick to the wing, isolation one-on-one style play. I don't have an answer for that one. It's just weird to me how we've made so much emphasis on the triangle offense, on how Jose Calderon is going to be this guy to run the triangle offense, and we're not seeing either one pan out whatsoever. I mean, I knew that we weren't going to be in any position to compete, but no one saw 5-34 coming. And no one thought that that the triangle would be worked this badly, so badly that the TNT guys didn't even want to do any analysis whatsoever during the halftime show. They were like, it makes no sense. It's like Kenny Smith even said it. He's like, you know what? You have to win more than five games in order for me to run the board and do an analysis. You know what? He's right.
Yeah. I'm not speechless. I feel that the New York Knicks, if they don't give us what we want right now at this point, I don't even know if we can get wins. That's how bad it is. I don't even strive for wins. I strive for effort first. That's the mentality. When I get to the house and I get to the couch, I grab a beer or whatever, and then when I turn on to see the Knicks, I don't even look for wins at this point. I'm at the point with the New York Knicks. Give me effort first. I don't know how you feel about that and how other Knicks fans approach this, because I don't think we can get wins without effort. I don't think that's any team, any sport, whatever. I just want to see the effort.
Well, Reggie Miller even said it, is that the fact that this team has only won five games in, just about 40 games into the season.
That's terrible.
We're almost halfway there, and we still only have five wins. Your superstar by himself should win you five games. And in theory, we have two superstars. We have Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire. As washed up as he is, he could still carry a team, for a game or two. So you would think, in essence, that you would have more than five wins. You should have at least 10. We should be at double figures by now. And a lot of those close games that we lost so far, I mean, it's understandable that we lose them, but it's like, okay. But then you'd have games like this where you're losing by 20, 30, 30 points, and it's like, okay, where is the effort? Is this an effort thing? I mean, J.R. Smith even said it last night from Cleveland. It's like it was an effort thing. And, everyone, there's too much thinking involved. And it's like, okay, well, what is it? Is it thinking? Is it an effort? Is it heart? Is it just you guys forgot how to play? What is it? And for me, I'm looking for effort. I'm looking for just about anything that gets me excited. And there were a few moments here and there tonight where, like the Galloway put back, or where Klee Anthony early did the alley-oop, or the one alley-oop that he messed up. And I was like, ooh, that was actually kind of exciting. But, I mean, you kind of want to see the Knicks in more games like this and put forth the effort. And if you're still losing, oh, well, it's okay. But not by, not these any more of these double-digit lopsided wins where it's like, why did I even watch?
That's a good question. That's the question of the night. Why, besides loyalty or blind loyalty or
just blind faith,
what is the reasons to watch? I'm not going to stop watching nonetheless. I guess it comes down to youth talent or the evaluation of talent and just putting them on the floor, see what they could do. Because I really believe, Knickerbocker, that when you put that young lineup that we saw in the fourth quarter, I think they can find a way to pull a couple wins here and there. I think they show they could play with better effort. I see their energy is better. They're more lively. You know, I don't get that sense with the I don't even see it at all with Calderon, Prigioni, Jason Smith, you know, those type, those guys. When I see that lineup we saw late in the third quarter and for pretty much the entirety of the fourth, you know, they had their little moments here, man. All it is just a little bit of learning here or there to gel, to, you know, play as a unit, because so a lot of those guys are going to be with each other next year, because there are going to be parts to the puzzle. And the names that, you know, it's still a lot of time, you know, we already know who are the lock-ins. It's going to be Hardaway Jr. It's going to be Klee Anthony Early. It's going to be, Shane Larkin might be there still. I don't know. Well, you know what? There might be a chance he may not be there. I don't know. What is Larkin's contract situation right now?
Shane Larkin has a team option next year, I believe it is.
Oh, see, he may not be there. Okay.
So he may not be there, but there's a... I mean, anything can happen between now and then. The Knicks do have those trade exceptions that they can use. So it would probably behoove them to, you know, to look at signing trade deals, because besides the free agent market, you know, that's another way you're going to be able to, you know, to build a team from the ground up. I don't know. I lost my train of thought with, you know, and I'm kind of speechless still, because I'm still trying to figure out the answer to that question. It's like, why am I still watching? You know, why
well,
am
Knickerbocker,
I?
You're a Knickerbocker fan. I don't know if we need any more reason than that, but it was just kind of like, is there any particular player you want to see more? You know, because, you know, like guys like Klee Anthony Early. He's been injured for a good part of the season. I kind of want to see him more in,
I
guess you could say, garbage
time, anymore.
But even more than that, just I want to see him play a lot of minutes. I say, Carmelo, rest your knee till you go to London. Don't even play. You know, let these other guys play. Let our second-round draft pick play, you know. He's a four-year player at Wichita State. He's played in big-time games collegiately. I want to see him play.
Well, I think they only have the game on Saturday, and then they actually fly to London like right after that, and they don't play again until Thursday. So, you know, so Knicks fans kind of get a break here and there, you know, between Saturday and Thursday. You know, unless you're like a hoops junkie, then you're going to be feeded for a while for your Knicks. But I agree with you. I figured, you know, Melo, why even come back for London? You know, just hold off for a little bit longer. Make sure that you're 100%. Play like five or six games, you know, before the All-Star break. Play in the All-Star game, and then shut it down. No reason or need to come back after that.
What is the psyche right now, Carmelo Anthony, you know, seeing his dude, J.R. Smith, pretty much go to a team that, you know, is kind of like, you know, he's been compared to his whole career, LeBron James, you know. Is that, you know, how do you think he feels? I mean, do you think he takes it personal knowing that J.R. Smith, you know, godfather of his kid, been on the same team for like a decade or whatever, and see him go to a team that who's pretty much been to four NBA finals in a row? And probably, you know, within due time, depending on how their contract situation goes, he possibly could win a championship with LeBron. You think Carmelo, that may bother or, you know, kind of piss off Carmelo for what it was, or is business as usual with the Knicks?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think for Melo, if JR and Iman walk out of this season with a ring on their finger saying NBA champion, I think it will really eat at him at Melo, and it can have one of two reactions to him. It could really, you know, probably light a fire under him, and, you know, make him into the leader and the kind of player that Phil is saying that, you know, Phil's always saying, oh, there's another dimension or another level that Melo can go. Well, you know, we still haven't seen it. It's pretty much still the same Melo. I want to see that extra level already. If his best friend and his rookie end up, you know, with a championship before he does, I think it'll either light a fire under him or it's going to eat at him and it's going to, you know, fuck up with his psyche, because that would be a tough one to swallow. It'll be a tough one to swallow for any Knicks fan to see Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith have an NBA championship before we do.
Yeah, all right. So let's turn the gear up a little bit. We'll come back to some Knicks talk before we get off this broadcast. The rest of the NBA, you know, I know you've been following. Is there any surprises? What has surprised you right now, this 2014-2015 NBA season right now, just in general as a fan? You know, outside of the Knicks, you know, the deplorable record, what has surprised you as an NBA fan in general, Knickerbocker?
Well, I feel like I could put my foot in my mouth. I think I said it all throughout the off season that I figured that Toronto would come back to earth. But apparently they're for real. They're 24-11. They're third in the Eastern Conference. So that's a little bit of a shocker to me. I can't believe how well Atlanta is. I mean, I didn't expect them to be, you know, best record in the East. The Western Conference to me is pretty much, you know, as I predicted, except for Oklahoma City, but no one figured that Westbrook and Durant would get hurt both at the same time. But I figured they'll sneak in into the AC. You know, I don't think that Phoenix is for real. In San Antonio, I didn't think they would be that low in terms of a record. Aside from that, I mean, everyone else is pretty much exactly where I figured they would be. I figured that Miami would have a better record than they would now, but you know, you win some, you lose some in that regard. But you know, my biggest shocker really is Atlanta and Toronto.
I'm gonna have to say Atlanta, definitely. I didn't see this coming. I thought they were always a decent team, a team that's probably a playoff team. You know, hovering around that 5 or 6 seed in the East, but the way they've been playing, nobody saw this coming. I don't care; their own fans saw this coming. Now, I think a lot of that has to do with their point guard play, because there's been nights with the Hawks where Teague will not even play. They let Schrader play and Shelvin Mack play. And they'll get the job done without T. It's like Budenholzer will play. He played that what's his name? Greg Popovich role, where, like, you know how the Spurs, they may play some nights and then they'll sit their core three and let the team play. And then the Hawks do the same thing, and it works. And I'm actually shocked. You know, they just coming off a win, you know, versus the Grizzlies at home. They're pretty much battling, you know, with the team I thought was going to win the division, which is the Washington Wizards. I thought the Washington Wizards is good as advertised. If not, they're going to get better. Like you, I thought Toronto was going to take a step back. I thought they would have been like second in the East to, you know, I don't even want to mention our team because that's what we all picked in the summer. And we were dead or wrong for that. Dead wrong. Mm. Now, out in the West, I'm not surprised at the teams that are in the playoff picture, but I am somewhat surprised at the order, starting with Golden State. You know, I don't know what Steve Kerr has done as far as getting the maximum out of that team with a lot of those games without David Lee, Andrew Bogut. I think, the backcourt plus Draymond, you know, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. They've been playing hella good basketball. I mean, they are fun to watch. You know, I know, you know, we could watch a lot of those games on the West Coast late at night on the weekends. They are a fun bunch to watch. You know, after I watch the Knicks games, I watch a little bit of whatever I could get, you know, if it's not too late. But the Golden State Warriors are a hell of a team to watch. I think Portland's like maybe top two. I think they may be number two right now. Now, OKC, you think OKC is going to, you know, be OKC at the, by the time the end of the year, though?
I think they will. I think they're like one. I know they're trying to make a move for another big, and I think that once they do, whether they end up picking up Samuel Dalembert or they end up making a trade for another big man, once they make it, I think that they'll be ready and set, and they'll be back in the playoff picture, because I don't think Phoenix will hold on. I just don't have any faith in them right now. When you talk about Golden State, I don't know what the hell Steve Kerr did. I don't know if he freaking like started a cult over there, or he just did whatever Mark Jackson didn't do, and he got this team to believe that they can do anything, and pretty much they're doing it. I mean, with a record of 28-5. You know, winning five in a row, and you know, on this current win streak, they're 15-1 at home. I think that's pretty much one of their key things. They're, you know, they're just so almost impossible to beat at home. I mean, last year, you know, they were talking about it during the playoffs. You know, how Oracle Arena is, you know, one of those. It's kind of how the 12th man in Seattle with the Seahawks. It's kind of like them, because when those fans are, you know, are yelling, they're rabid and they're crazy. I mean, it's an impossible place to, you know, to get your collect your thoughts, you know, to communicate. It's impossible to do anything, you know, if you're the opposing team. So I think for Golden State, their biggest asset is their fans and their home court. Portland, I'll reserve a little bit more judgment on them, because they're them being second in the West is kind of like, is kind of iffy to me still. After that is Memphis. They're right where I figured they would be. I think San Antonio, they should step up one, at least one spot. I don't think they'll stay at seven. Houston and Dallas, that'll be a great 4-5 matchup, you know, when it comes to the playoffs. And aside from that, I mean, I got nothing else.
I never been to that arena. I've been to a few arenas in the NBA. Never had the opportunity to go to Golden State. I've been in the Oakland area before, but not to, you know, watch a game there at that Oracle Arena. I know where it is. Just never had the chance to go there. That is definitely on the bucket list to see that for that fan experience. There's some other places in the NBA too that's kind of raucous like that. The old Charlotte Arena, way back in the day, we used to be kind of like how it is in Oakland right now.
The Charlotte Coliseum.
Yeah. Before they, you know, in the late '90s. Now the Knicks, of course, Madison Square Garden. When they're winning, it's very energetic. It's one of the best places in the NBA. But let me get to that point, man. And I hate when, you know, I'm tired of you know, that cliche saying, and it's true to the degree, but it's about attracting free agents to New York. They said it on the broadcast tonight, as far as, you know, with the right money, you can get them, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something, man. If you ever been, these players ain't tripping about going to New York like that. That's number one.
No.
They're not tripping. I know it took a player like Amari Stoudemire to come to New York, but let's not forget why he came to New York, because of that extra year in the max contract at the time. It ain't like New York was his first option. But I hate when, like, we're still kind of stuck on that 1990s, you know, everybody wants to play in New York mentality, you know, with the Knicks. That is definitely not the case, because New York in the wintertime, everybody knows, it's cold, it's miserable, it's, you know, and it snows, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have other options within the rest of the country to play for, where it's cheaper cost of living, it's just better weather. And not to say that players don't, you know, they'll never not want to come to New York, but let's not make it, they keep on pushing this same language that everybody wants to play in New York. Where is that coming from, Knickerbocker? Who is pumping that? Because that is not true. If that was true, it would be here.
The delusional Knick fan, who is also a Yankee fan, they came up with that nonsense. The fact of the matter is that you're absolutely right. We've been reciting that script for the last 15, almost 20 years now. And I always ask the question, we've been saying that, but who in the blue hell have we attracted here? So last I checked, I don't remember Michael Jordan never playing in the New York, you know, playing for the New York Knicks. I don't remember LeBron James. I don't remember LeBron James saying he was taking his talents to Broadway. I don't remember hearing Kobe Bryant saying I want to play at the Garden and get traded to the Knicks. I've never heard that stuff. Anytime you hear a Knicks fan say that, at least when I hear it, I almost want to cringe because it's like, where do you come up with this stuff? I mean, given we probably and no offense, Steve, but I'm pretty sure that you at one point probably said it yourself. I've said it. At one point, we believed that. But enough years have passed by as being a diehard fan where you start to wonder, okay, when does this saying ever become true? Because it's not a fact at all. I mean, no one's come here besides Amari Stoudemire. Who's who's coming here and saying I want to play at the Garden? The guys that have said it, you know, are either past their or looking for a new run, under their belt or something like that. You know, like Metta World Peace or Kenyon Martin or Kurt Thomas or guys like that. I don't know if it's something that Spike Lee said. Because if it was Spike Lee, then or it was something that Stephen A. Smith said, or something that some gung-ho Knicks fan that that has a platform for him to say that, they're the ones that came up with it, and Knicks fans have been eating it up, and now with the Knicks having Phil Jackson, and now having this flawed theory of let's tank it and. Let's get the worst record in the NBA, and we'll get the number one pick. Hell, they said it on the broadcast too. You remember the last time the worst record in the NBA actually got the number one pick? Do you know, Steve?
Nah, what?
It was 2004 when Orlando drafted Dwight Howard.
Is it Charlotte went Okafor, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's right. That's the draft. Yep.
But that was the last time the worst record in the NBA got the number one pick.
So we're talking about 11 years ago.
Exactly. That means in the last 11 drafts, the worst record in the NBA was not the team that picked first. Because it definitely wasn't last year, because Cleveland had the ninth worst record, and they barely missed the playoffs by two games.
Yeah.
And they got the number one pick.
I've seen a lot of the mock draft. I see a lot of articles circulating about mock drafts. Man, dude, it's January. It's like January 8th. It's too early for that, man. I'm not looking at no
right.
damn mock draft until the season's over, man. I don't know why we are such a reactionary fan base. Overreact. I mean, they did give us fair warning. They said this is going to take some time, and boy, they weren't lying. They say you got to be patient. They were not lying. I'm going to just enjoy as much as I can out of this season for what they've done. I mean, you got to take it into account. I mean, you got to celebrate a couple of things after this season is over because you saw a lot of money. How much we got it? What, 30 million? At least 30 million plus with the J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert getting out of New York, with the trade, Samuel Dalembert. Then you also throw in Amari Stoudemire and Bariani coming off the books. How much is that total right now? If you just added those factors on top of, with Stoudemire and Bariani on top of what we did already in the last week.
Well, Stoudemire and Bariani is about $35 million by themselves.
That's 22. Yeah, that's right. 20. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So it's about $35 million. So you add the seven and the three. So you're looking at almost $40 to $45 million, give or take, minus a few exceptions and a couple of rules here and there. But and of course you have to factor in you're gonna have to pay your draft pick whoever it is. So that that's something that you know that you have to look forward to. One thing that that I will say to Knick fans right now, for those that are listening, the best thing that you can probably look for right now is go on StubHub and see how all these season ticket holders are trying to get rid of their tickets and see how much, you know, how much of a discount you can get. You can probably get courtside tickets for like a couple of $100 instead of a few thousand. And that would be the only benefit of right now. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the only benefit. The fact that the team is doing so bad, you know, season ticket holders are not going to want to go to the game. So, you know, start looking on StubHub or, you know, or the ticket exchange or, you know, call your bookie or something, because that, I know for a fact, freaking Spike Lee is getting rid of a lot of his tickets.
As he should.
But I mean, he's trying to sell them for face value, but, you know, not everyone is doing that. I'm pretty sure Woody Allen wouldn't mind taking a discount. It's like, all right, you know what, screw it, here you go.
Let's get back to the rest of the NBA for the Knicks. Made me have a heart attack. Let's see, who else is in a top 18 in the East right now? Let's see. Can you name them in order without looking at the current standings right now, top eight right now in the East? Matter of fact, we'll do it like this. Do you remember what you said in the offseason, what the top eight would be, and can you tell us what it is now?
I believe my picks then was Cleveland, Chicago, New York, Washington, Brooklyn, Charlotte, and that's eight, isn't it?
That might be seven.
And then I think I only went seven because I couldn't figure out who was going to be eight. Maybe Indiana.
Okay.
Oh no, Miami. I always forget Miami.
Okay. You know what the top eight looking at right now. You probably do.
Yeah. Actually, it's been up for a while now for me right now. It's Atlanta, Chicago, Toronto, Washington, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Miami.
You know what's funny, though, Knickerbocker? All season with you, Chris, and myself, how many predictions we saw online that everybody had Cleveland at number one?
Right.
You remember that? You know how the whole nation, the whole NBA said, it's a no-brainer. Cleveland's number one. Remember that talk
Right. Everybody
we had? I mean, not to say they can't still get there, but, you know, just to show that we all as a whole don't know what we're talking about, but we just talk because this is what we do. This is sports. But Cleveland, they have more. You can't just put a bunch of guys together just like our team or any team. You got to have that chemistry, and they are definitely a work in progress. They are definitely not the number one seed everybody was talking about. I think the biggest jump in the standings is definitely Atlanta, because I think a lot of us had Atlanta no higher than six.
If I remember correctly, I think that the major consensus during the offseason for us, most of us either had them at as high as seven and as low as 12. You know, they had really no high hopes for Atlanta. But then again, they also had – we all kind of felt delusional a little bit. We knew that the Knicks weren't going to be that high up. We figured they'd be a playoff team at least, maybe as high as six. But then I'm going to blame him to the day I die. I think we kind of went with Ron Friedman's little crazy rah-rah talk, and then it's just like, you know what, screw it, we're going to go with three. And that's what that's my story. I'm sticking to it. But but since then, Atlanta's the biggest jump. Cleveland being just two games over 500. Yeah, I mean, there really isn't very much to explain there. I mean, you figure with David Blatt running that Princeton offense, pretty much was the same offense that LeBron was running in Cleveland before he left. Why is it that he's having such a big problem? I think, to be honest, I think maybe LeBron's kind of just burnt out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because what other explanation is there for him to, you know, not being the dominant LeBron that, you know, that was advertised, that was featured in Miami, that was featured in Cleveland beforehand, that is being, you know, considered the, you know, the best player in the world, and he's not actually playing like it lately. I mean, the last, what, 6 or 7 games I've seen him, Kyrie Irving has been, you know, the number one force on the team.
That's another thing about the top teams in the East. You know, Jeff Teague, Derrick Rose, Kyle Lowry, John Wall, Kyrie Irving. To a degree on some nights, Brandon Knight. I know he has a rib injury right now, Darren Williams. And then it's a committee, you know, for that 8 seed. The top 6-7 teams have at least above average point guard play. Something right. The Knicks don't have.
They haven't had it for a while.
And we haven't had it for a while. And I can't think of a great point guard that, you know, maybe Marbury for a year and a half. But outside of that, I can't think of a great point guard for this franchise since I've been a Knicks fan. I know Mark Jackson had some good moments, but, you know, he was never the top guy in his era, you know?
Right.
It was like, you know, during his time, it was Isaiah, it was, you know, Magic. Stockton, Zach, guys like that. Mark Jackson, you know, he may have been the top 10 point guard, but why can't we land a young stud of a point guard like these Eastern Conference teams? Obviously, all the teams in the East that are at the top of the rankings have at least that minimum of average above point guard play, y'all. I mean, like I said, Rose, Teague, Lowry, John Wall, Kyrie Irving. I mean, they all got – these are the best point guards in the conference.
Well, I honestly don't know. Why is it that we can't seem to be, like, you know, looking for that top-notch elite point guard? Maybe it's always been the style of play. And you would figure that, you know, when Mike D'Antoni was the coach, that style of play, you know, would attract more point guards. Then again, it gave birth to – it's also kind of, you know, what gave birth to Linsanity. And that's what, you know, New York fans went completely bananas over. But I never considered Jeremy Lin to be one of those, you know, on that level. And obviously he's not. He's never – he never amounted to that after that. But it all depends on what the, you know, what the needs of the franchise is, and it seems like the franchise is either looking for a big man, or it's usually looking for a wing player. And I mean, come on, the last 4 or 5 years, if the Knicks were drafting, they draft a wing guy, and it's almost kind of annoying because I mean, think about it. when they drafted Iman Shumpert, we were all kind of like, who? And then once we, you know, we got to know Iman, so we were wondering, so why did they draft another wing guy? I mean, another 6-7, you know, guard forward, combo guard. It doesn't make any sense. And then they drafted Tim Hardaway Jr. Same exact thing. It's like, you know, can we get something different? Can we go for a big man? Can we go for a point guard? And it's just, you know, luck doesn't ever fall for the Knicks ever.
The New York Rangers are trying to fight back into this game with the Los Angeles Kings. Kevin Klein punches in another a scoring goal. Rangers and Kings are tied at 2. I'm going to definitely watch the end of this game after this broadcast. You know, when we're done with the Knicks fan forum, the Rangers and the Kings are tied 2-2 right now. Early in the second period, though. Early in the second period, baby. Only team out of this bleed blue core holding it down right now. Only team right now. Holding it down.
It's the only team in New York City right now. I mean, yeah, I know some people would say the Nets, but let's just be realistic. The Brooklyn Nets are not a team in New York. Hell, they're 12-21, so how much – or 16-19, how much better are they really? But, no, the New York Rangers are the only team in New York right now that are actually represented as well. I don't want to say it's sad because it's always good to see a New York team, you know, the Rangers do well, but it is sad when, you know, the Yankees failed to make the playoffs, the Giants failed to make the playoffs, the Knicks aren't even going to smell the playoffs this year. And, you know, we're just hoping that the Rangers can get back to the Stanley Cup Finals and, you know, and prove that they were, that they're not a fluke team. That's what a lot of people have been saying, you know, on talk radio and, in, you know, it's just around everywhere else. It's like, that was a fluke. It's like, no, I don't think it's a fluke. I think it was, there was the real deal.
Let's see. What's your final thoughts? You know, I know we got like, you know, well, a little over about five minutes left. But, you know, about tonight, just tonight in particular, when you, you know, when you got in front of the tube and you wanted to watch the Knicks, what was, I don't know if you were expecting a win, but what was your thoughts as far as roster, or what did you wanted to see tonight, and did the team meet expectations outside of wins and losses? But did the team entertain you tonight? Did the team made you feel comfortable as a Knicks fan as far as running or playing decent basketball? Give you some energy for the Knickerbocker Ave movement. Did the Knicks help you in that way tonight on the court?
No.
I'm watching from home.
Absolutely not. Anytime you get you get beaten on the court, there's always an explanation why. I mean, and it's pretty evident. And tonight, the reason the Knicks lost was a matter of effort. It was a matter of intensity. It was a matter of just showing up. And basically, the Knicks showed up for the first half, and then they disappeared after that. So to answer your question, absolutely not. I was expecting the Knicks to at least show me a somewhat entertaining game. Wasn't expecting a win whatsoever. I knew that, you know, going against Houston, Houston's had our number for, you know, for the last few years. So I figured they were going to, you know, come up with a W, but at least be somewhat entertaining. And there was a lot of sloppy play, by the Knicks. There was a lot of costly turnovers. There were a lot of, you know, lack of intensity on the defensive end, which has been the story all season long. And the only highlight of the night was, you know, Langston Galloway's putback dunk on Cle Anthony Early's alley-oop, you know, somewhere in the third quarter. And that's basically it. After that, it's been pretty much a wash. And it's almost like I want my 2.5 to 3 hours back.
Oh, yo, I got to get one more point. We got to give everybody an update, somewhat of a quick update. How are you doing right now with your fantasy basketball team in the Bleed Blue Show Fantasy Basketball League?
Well, my fantasy team started off pretty okay, and then Kevin Durant went down. And that pretty much screwed up my entire season. I'm sitting at with a record of 38-52. I'm 10th out of the 14 teams, so I'm not looking so hot. And you would think, you know, with a team of Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, Trevor Ariza, I have David West and Marcin Gortat, and you know, guys like Chandler Parsons. You would think that I would, and Andrew Wiggins, that I'd be doing a little bit better, but brother, man. I'm at least winning this week, you know. I'm winning that clearly, but it's been a rough year for me, fantasy wise.
My update, I got to at least be top three right now, top four in the league.
You're second.
I'm second. Okay, I'm not surprised. Although I have not played the top two teams in the league yet, I've been somewhat decimated by injury, but a lot of teams have been in a lot worse shape than I have in the Bleed Blue Show Fantasy Basketball League. I look forward to playing the top two teams so I can gain some ground. I think I'm like 6-7 games back of first place. That guy, Knicks Tape, that guy, he's killing everybody. It's just been a massacre. But other than that, man, Knickerbocker Ave, thank you very much on this post game for the Knicks Fan Forum versus the Houston Rockets. We'll be at, you know, next week we'll be on a future post-game show. But, you know, we got to wrap things up. Other than that, Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.